among other things, that you're performing Modest Mussorgsky's pictures at an exhibition?
Yes, I am.
I'm pretty excited about that. I only learned recently, believe it or not, that Ravel actually added the orchestration to that, and so what you're going to be playing is conceivably the original composition by Modest Mussorgsky for piano.
It is absolutely the original composition for piano, and my husband, who is a conductor, and I duke it out all the time over which is the better version.
Who dukes better?
Let's just say it depends on who you ask.
Okay. All right. Well, for the purposes of this conversation, let's just assume that wherever there's a contest and you're involved, you always win.
Sounds good. Can I somehow extend that to the rest of life?
Oh, absolutely. For the purposes of radio, you bet. anything goes. Orly, first of all, I should tell you that I love your name, and I told the people who helped set this up that I just loved your name, and I had to talk with you on the telephone just to tell you that.
Oh, well, that's very, very nice. I appreciate it, and I especially appreciate it because although it seems like this wonderfully unusual name here in the States, when I was growing up in Israel, it was like being called Jennifer. There were so many Orlys.
No, really?
Even in my first grade class, I was not the only Orly.
An Orly here, an Orly there, everywhere an Orly. What about your brother, Gil? Is that a common name, too? Or?
Yeah, Gil is also a very common name in Israel. It means joy or happiness. So clearly a name that's given to, that a lot of parents want to give to their kids.
Okay, so what does Orly mean?
Orly means my light. Yeah, many Hebrew names have to do with either sunlight or daylight or lighting things up in some way.
Well, I think it's good that we're covering some, I guess this is our prequel to the rest of the conversation, because I think it's critically important due to the fact that you do so many things for young kids. You do things for people that just have to do with music and music making the world a happier place.
You know, I often wonder about this career choice of being a musician. And then I think about other career choices, and I realize, for me, life wouldn't really be worth living without music in it. So it kind of makes perfect sense that that's what I would dedicate my life to, not only to bringing it to any adults who come to my concerts, but also to get kids initiated in it and to teach them that this is one of the great reasons for being here.
I've seen a couple of your YouTube videos where you're demonstrating music to kids, and they really sincerely do get involved. And from a very, very early age, kids seem to respond extraordinarily well to music.
Well, I find that music really is a universal language. And when kids are exposed to it, especially between those sort of ages, 3 to 6, which is, you know, we're all told all the time, this is the time to teach your child another language. Well, music is another language. And if kids are exposed to it at that age, they, doesn't matter where they're from or what's going on around them or what their background is, they will develop a lifelong love and an interest in it. And I can't think of anything, any better gift to give somebody for their lifetime.
Orly, you're so well-spoken. I'm assuming that probably for purposes of your performance, is it all solo piano?
It is. It will be all solo, yeah.
And so I'm just guessing that you're going to be chatting up your audience a little bit.
I am going to be doing a little bit of that. You found me out.
It was a real stretch.
Well, you know, the program that I'm playing Thursday night begins with some works by William Bolcom, which are, although they've been in the repertoire for, I guess, amazingly, almost 30 years now, they are not that well known by the concert-going public, and so I especially will talk about those pieces and what I think they're supposed to represent and how they work. And I just find in general that we had created such a barrier between the performers and the audience, and this is really a phenomenon of the late 20th century. It didn't exist ever beforehand. When Mozart played a concert, he didn't just go up there and play. He talked with everybody. Not only that, he probably knew everybody in the hall because he was the one who invited them in the first place. And this continued through the 19th century and even into the beginning of the 20th. And then we lost that habit, and it was somehow as if the musicians were on this completely different planet than the one that the rest of us inhabit. And that's silly, because the musicians are exactly on the same planet. They just have some access to things that are above all of us. So it's not that we live in some other place. It's just that we are a link to some incredible stuff.
Well said. Looking forward to seeing you here in Dallas. I don't know if you've been here before, but I know that there's a lot of excitement about you coming to Dallas, and I'm looking forward to seeing the show myself.
Well, I'm very excited to come down. I have been there before. I was with the symphony a few years back, so I got to experience Dallas for a while. And of course, I'm a child of the 70s and 80s, so I grew up watching Dallas and feeling like I was from Dallas for a long time.
That, by the way, the favorite television program in Dallas is Dallas.
Oh well, there you go.
So, yeah, there you have it.
My brother and I used to play, you know, J.R. Ewing, and kind of decide who would get to play that wonderful part.
The perfectly awesome rotten role.
Exactly.
Orly Shaham, thank you. We look forward to seeing you Thursday night here.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.